What is to be done about US plutocrats? The recent report from the Institute for Political Studies underscores the role of inherited wealth in the growth of social inequality in the United States. The report, titled Billionaire Bonanza, Inherited Wealth Dynasties in the 21st Century United States, analyzes the Forbes magazine list of the 400 wealthiest individuals in the United States, and finds that one-third of them derive their wealth primarily from inheritance from their parents, or from an even older generation of the super-rich. The three wealthiest of the dynasties, the Waltons, the Koch brothers, and the Mars family, saw their combined wealth increase nearly 6,000% since 1982, whilst average household wealth in America actually declined slightly since 1982. These three families, based in retailing, oil production, and food manufacturing respectively, had a combined wealth of $348.7 billion in 2018, up from $5.84 billion in 1982, adjusted to 2018 dollars. Besides the seven Waltons, two Kochs, and six Mars, the report notes nine Cargill heirs on the Forbes 400 list, along with five Johnsons, Fidelity Investment, nine Pritzkers, Hyatt Hotels, five heirs to the Cox Media fortune, four heirs to the Duncan Oil fortune, four Lauders, perfumes, five billionaires from the Johnson & Johnson empire, four Bass Brothers, oil, three Strikers, medical equipment, and so on. The top 15 billionaire dynasties had a combined wealth of $618 billion. In the 100 years since the first US Gilded Age, the vast wealth of the original dynastic families like the Rockefellers, the Mellons, the Carnegies, and the DuPonts have been dispersed amongst large numbers of descendants, as well as diluted by progressive taxation before 1980 and a few cases by transfer to foundations. Few heirs of the original robber barons now make the Forbes 400 list. But the report notes, now several decades into the second Gilded Age, dynastic wealth families now again appear in force on the Forbes 400 list. Unlike the previous dynasties, a segment of these families use their considerable wealth and power to rig the rules of the economy to protect and expand their wealth and power. These wealthy families have pushed through major changes in the tax and inheritance laws that will allow them to pass on their wealth on to the next generation virtually without hindrance. Changes which will be taken advantage of by the new layer of super-rich, personified by the trio of Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, and Bill Gates, whose combined wealth is greater than that of the bottom half of the American population. But their impact on American social and political life goes well beyond the immediate accumulation and preservation of family fortunes. The report begins by citing a warning by Paul Volcker, who, as the former chairman of the US Federal Reserve Board, the US Central Bank, was intimately familiar with the political and social psychology of this layer, about the dangers of the rule over society by a tiny elite of the fabulously rich. Paul Paul Volcker, the former chairman of the US Federal Reserve Board, said, "The central issue is we are developing into a plutocracy. We've got an enormous number of enormously rich people that have convinced themselves that they're rich because they're smart and constructive. And they don't like government and they don't like to pay taxes. Hence the agenda of tax cutting and deregulation carried out by Democratic and Republican administrations alike. The past 40 years have seen the consolidation of a plutocratic elite, which has subordinated every aspect of American society to a single goal, amassing even more colossal amounts of personal wealth. The top 1% have captured all of the increase in national income over the past two decades, and all of the increase in national wealth since the 2008 crash. This is the fundamental class reason for the dramatic and seemingly unending shift to the right in American politics over this period. Well-paying jobs, long-term job security, decent public schools and social infrastructure of transportation, healthcare, housing, even water and sewage systems, all of these have been sacrificed to the maniacal and never-ending self-enrichment of the plutocrats." The destruction of jobs, living standards, and social benefits for working people is constantly and invariably justified by corporate America and the capitalist politicians of the Democratic and Republican parties with the declaration that there is no money. This mantra is repeated even as the fortunes of the super rich swell to previously unthinkable dimensions. What is really meant is that there is no money for you because we want it all. The plutocrats bear the same relationship to modern society as a cancerous tumour does to the human body. The Institute for Political Studies has done a public service by publishing these figures, which dovetail with the findings of economists like Emmanuel Saez, Thomas Piketty, and Gabriel Zucman. But the policies advanced by the Interpress Service, tepid liberal reforms such as the reinstitution of the inheritance tax and a 1% annual wealth tax, have a snowball's chance in hell of being enacted under the present social order. They are proposed to bolster illusions in the Democratic Party, and in particular to promote politicians of the Bernie Sanders stripe. The reality is that the Democratic Party is just as beholden to the billionaires and just as devoted to the defense of capitalism as the Republican Party is. The financial aristocracy will never permit such measures to be adopted through the mechanisms of Congress and the presidency, which it controls from the top to the bottom. On the contrary, the open turn to authoritarianism by both corporate-controlled parties is a powerful demonstration that economic inequality on the scale that exists today in the United States is incompatible with democracy. The banner of the working class in America cannot be restore modest taxation on the super rich. Rather, the US working class must set its goal to provide the resources needed for the common good to serve human needs and not private profit. Well, dear listeners, the article you've just heard was written by Patrick Martin. Patrick Martin is a Canadian politician who was a member of the House of Commons of Canada from 1997 to 2015. Representing the riding of Winnipeg for the new Democratic Party of Canada. Thanks for being with us.